handoff. Taylor running outside. He's got room 25. Turns inside 20. On his feet 15. Here he goes to the 5. Touchdown. Fred Taylor. 25 yards and the Jaguars are on the board. Mark takes the snap, drops to throw, pocket collapsing, sets up the screen. Taylor's got it with room. Taylor's at the 15, Taylor's at the 10. Taylor goes to the 5, touchdown, Fred Taylor. 16 yards on the screen pass, and the Jaguars take their first lead of the night, 13-10. Here's a handoff to Fred, running to the left, looking for room. He is into the end zone, touchdown, Jacksonville. That's 3 touchdowns tonight for Taylor, and the Jaguars lead 26-10. They're piling it on the Steelers here at Three River Stadium. Mark under center, gives the ball to Fred, running to the left, cutting it back, he's at the 25, he's at the 20, Fred coming outside at the 15, Fred to the 10, 5, touchdown, Fred Taylor, his 4th touchdown of the night.
Wow, he's wearing out that corner of the end zone, that's for sure.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, welcome in everybody. Jaguars Today off and running this morning. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jordan DeArmond here with you. How long is Tyler Devitt getting off? Huh?
I don't know.
Like a pretty lengthy vacation. He's really only been off, I think, 4 days, right?
Last
Wednesday.
This will be the 4th, yeah.
Is the 4th actual work day, if you call it a work day, whenever he's around here, but... When's he coming back, Jordan? Do we know? We don't care.
I believe Wednesday. Tomorrow will be my last day with y'all.
So tomorrow, so he's coming back Wednesday. Can you ask him to make it Thursday? Maybe even Friday?
Hey, I can see what I can do.
That would be fine with us. All right, so out of sight, out of mind, Tyler. That's the way it goes. Don't get Wally pipped around here. It'll happen. We have proven we will kick you to the curb if necessary. As you heard, we discussed there briefly with Dan Hicken. Question of the day. Today there are a couple of Jags that fit this profile that have birthdays today. Who was your favorite all-time Jaguar? Maybe a present day one. Some people have already said, hey, Blake Bortles is my favorite guy who's yet to make a Pro Bowl. Keep in mind, Freddie T made one late in his career, Tony. And, you know, it's always a debate with Fred. Should he have made many more? It's tough when you go back and look. There's probably a year or two in there you feel like you really got slighted, but don't forget how deep that running back crop was in the AFC back in the day. I mean, it was absolutely brutal, and plus you're playing in a smaller market. Freddie T should have gotten more love, but probably not, you know, a 6-8 Pro Bowl type career based on the competition in the AFC, but he did make one, so he's out of the question today. Who's your favorite Jag that never made a Pro Bowl? And tell us why, because we're looking for the reasoning behind it. Do you just think they were the best player on the team that didn't happen to make a Pro Bowl? Or do you have a certain personal connection to them, the position they played, in a personal encounter, whatever the case may be? So share your thoughts with us on that. Players' Championship, Tony. I've probably never felt less prepared that the Players' Championship is upon us than I do now.
Tomorrow.
Not that I need to do anything,
yeah,
you know, really, other than show up out at Sawgrass, but, you know, I just don't have a feel for anything. And I play fantasy golf on a weekly basis. Fowler yesterday was heading in the wrong direction. If he's looking to use some momentum to try to propel himself to back-to-back Players' Championships,
right,
he didn't get that yesterday, despite being the third-round leader. So
yeah, I think the plan is for us to be out there the rest of the week.
It is the plan. And we'll be out there the next couple of days at the Media Center, and then we'll be at the, what do they call that little fan pavilion area right there by 10. Kind of, right? You know what I'm talking about? That's where they had us last year on Thursday. That's, you know, with the little fake 17th Island green,
yeah,
right there. That's where we're going to be on Thursday. Be over at the Benefactor's tent behind 17 T-Box on Friday, which,
yep,
is spectacular.
Yes, it is.
Best seat in the house. It's unbelievable where things have come from doing shows in an open little radio room where there are 5 cubicles. Picture, you know, your typical work cubicle environment, and there are 5 of them with not much soundproofing in between them. So you'd hear, I'm Cole Pepper doing an update down and somebody on PGA Tour radio doing a national broadcast or an international broadcast, and you're just trying to do your thing. It was usually us, though, that were the loud ones, and by that I mean me.
Well, yeah, because we were doing radio shows.
Right, we're like real radio shows. You hear how loud I am all the time.
The update, which we still do the updates from inside that little cubicle.
Yes, we do. But now we can actually see the course and see what's happening out there and realize that fresh air is a thing that still exists instead of being stuck in there. Are you doing updates on any of the...
Thursday and Friday I'll be doing updates all afternoon.
Okay, there you go, Fat Tony with the updates. Jordan, are you doing updates from the TPC this year?
I believe I am, so let's see how this goes.
All right, don't screw it up, all right?
Well, I'll try.
All right, big pressure situation here. All right, coming back, we'll take your calls today. If you'd like to kick off the week talking a little Jaguar NFL football, Sam Bradford's going to stop pouting for the time being. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, in the Honda Drive around the NFL, and he'll show up and collect his money from the Philadelphia Eagles, which in the end, what was he not going to do? What was he going to do? Go home and not play for $18 million this year? And
right.
Didn't really see that as a viable option for him. 641-1010, the phone number. It's also the text line driven by Duval Ford. Monday's brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. We'll come back with your calls. We'll hear from Gus Bradley and Miles Jack talking to the media over the weekend. Johnny O will join us from Jaguars.com and a lot more. With Fat Tony and Jordan DeArmond, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, if you'd like to kick off the week talking Jags, 641-1010 is the way to do it on the phone lines and on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. Cabby is a frequent texter of the program, Tony.
Yes, he is.
I don't know what the heck to make of this this mess that he sent my way. He calls me Mr. Clean because I don't have a bald cut. I'm, you know, closely shorn hair. I've let it go. Can you tell, by the way? It's getting out of control, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's been like
I guess
a week
so.
And a half since I've had it cut, Tony. He says, Mr. Clean, Mike, how do you spell Duraco? Is this correct? Sorry for the misspell. Well, how do you know you misspelled it if you don't know how to spell it? It was misspelled. So, all right. He goes on, I don't know how to spell or use a cell phone text properly. You'll never see me in D.C. at the spelling. Okay? And he goes on to say, Tommy Mac is my fave non-Pro Bowl Jag. See, I can't spell. Sorry, guys and gals, and sorry is spelled S-A-R-H-R-E-Y.
That's got to be a joke, right?
Maybe.
Like,
it is,
that's gotta be like a joke on I can't spell, so here's sorry.
I can't spell. Sorry, guys. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. I'm not sure. But here's my question. What does asking me how to spell Duraco have to do with anything else along the way here, right? I mean, I get the Tommy Max, my favorite
right.
Non-Pro Bowl Jag, that makes sense. I just don't know, you know, where he's jumping in with the wanting to know how to spell Duraco. Go to ESPN.com. You can find out how to spell Duraco.
Right. It's pretty easy.
It's capital D, little I, big R-O-C-C-O. Duraco.
But where's that coming from?
I don't know. Cabby, we love you, Cabby. We're just giving you a hard time because that's just the way we roll. All right, around here. By the way, apparently I'm looking through his little timeline here. He sent us one last week that escaped our attention. He said, Frank's doing a great job broadcasting games, but Mr. Brian Sexton should be admitted to the Jags Ring of Honor for broadcasting. Say what you say. What do you say? Oh, my goodness, the grammar. He basically goes on to say Brian did a hell of a job calling games. All right?
Okay.
I'm just going to say that. We will pass that along to Brian.
Has he tried to text the word sorry before? We may have to go through the whole history.
I don't know. I got to find. And then he texted a picture of his bowling ring to like a ring you would wear on your finger for bowling a 299 game.
Oh.
That's awful.
So close.
I mean, that's like, oh, let me get a runner-up ring from whatever. I mean, you may have won whatever bowling contest you're in or league you're in that day, but I left one pin
the
hanging.
The last one wobbled.
Wouldn't it have to be, if you bowled a 299, wouldn't you have to leave one in the very last frame?
Yeah, it'd be the last ball you roll.
The last ball, you'd have to get 9 pins out of 10.
Yeah.
So might as well get a big ring that says, I choked, Cabby. What are you doing to yourself out there, brother? We love you. We're only kidding. We're only kidding a little bit with you. All right, we got sound coming your way. Gus Bradley talking this weekend. Miles Jack talking this weekend. Yannick Ngakoue was out there. You know, a lot of the new Jags stepping up to the microphone. You had Miles Jack, Jalen Ramsey, on and on and on. So let's get to Gus Bradley to kick things off this morning as Gus addressing the media after practice/mini camp/orientation took place. Here was his opening statement.
As you all know, we revamped a little bit our rookie orientation, how we set it up, but very pleased with how it went the last couple of days as far as the orientation part of it. It was, you know, we've been looking at this for some time now. You know, what's the best way for our players to learn? You've heard me say before, learn the learner. And so we spent a lot of time individually with players. They had a lot of one-on-one attention. with our coaches. And I think, you know, coming out of it, haven't talked in depth with it about some of the things we did with our coaches, but just the general observation and conversation with them, very good, very good.
Learn the learner, Tony.
Is that going to be another one of the Gussisms?
You've heard me say that. I don't know if I have, but we're always going to remember it now. Learn the learner,
yeah.
Tony. I watched the show The Americans on FX, mm-hmm. right? And I don't know if this is a real organization. It may be, it may not be. But one of the lead characters goes to this symposium for like bettering yourself called EST, E-S-T, right? That sounds like something that they would be talking about, to learn the learner and all that, to improve your communication skills in life and get more out of your existence on this earth and all that kind of stuff. So good on Gus for that.
Yeah, it's definitely a Jaguarism, right? It just feels like the front office over there is full of those kind of little statements to keep kids motivated. Inside that building,
I think
better.
It's mostly the head coach. It's the whole
philosophical side of Gus Bradley comes out every time he steps to a podium. And one of the big questions that everyone has about what's going to go on with the Jaguars' second round pick is exactly where he's going to be playing. What position will he play for the Jacksonville Jaguars outside of the general linebacker, which is what he feels like right now. Gus was asked about what they have him doing during this rookie orientation.
We've got him at the Mike spot, but you know, that was just so he can learn the whole defense and learn how we set up the defense. So we're just starting him off there to get him a good feel for how the defense operates.
Well, as Miles Jack said, he was the only linebacker out there. So you're kind of the middle of the weak and the strong all rolled into one. But they're look, take advantage of the time to get some mental reps and see how the defense operates, because I could see certainly, Tony, with an eye towards the long-term, Miles Jack being the middle linebacker on this football team. That's the thing. You really don't know, because the versatility that he brings to the position, how exactly they're going to use him in the short term and the long term. But I think he's capable of filling the shoes of Paul Posluszny. Let's get a phone call or two in. 641-1010. More from Gus and Miles Jack sprinkled throughout. And John Osier coming up in about 10 minutes as well. Let's go to Connor on the south side leading things off today on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Connor.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
I would definitely say Blake Bortles would be my favorite non-Pro Bowl Jaguar. Like, not only because he's developing into a great franchise quarterback, but he's also just such a genuine, humble guy. Like, he's always making time to take pictures and sign autographs for all the fans. And he's also, like, all the contributions he's making for the Jacksonville community with, like, his golf tournament and whatnot. It's just, like, really easy to be a fan of his. Also, like myself, he's a UCF Knight, which is just a cherry on top.
All right, well, that doesn't hurt, right? I mean, I think, you know, most teams' quarterbacks are very popular, I think, if they're successful. But it helps when you don't have a Jay Cutler-esque type personality that you're carrying around. Blake Bortles does seem, Tony, very approachable. And look, there may come a point in time when the burdens of being the face of a franchise start to wear on him and he, you know, kind of closes ranks a little bit. I hope not, but he does seem like he's a pretty open guy. Now, Jordan, you said Blake had another run-in with the folks over at Barstool Sports.
Yes, he was on their podcast that dropped this morning.
It dropped, Tony.
That's what podcasts do.
That's what they do. Dropped it just like it was a little warm in there. And what? Do tell, what did he have to say on the podcast? I didn't hear any of it. I'm not down with the podcast drop times, so I rely on people like you, Jordan, to keep us abreast of the situation. So what did Blake have to say?
It was a very serious interview. Here you go.
Look at my house. It's holes.
What was that?
He has one book in his house, and it is Holes.
Holes. That's the name of the book?
Yeah, you know, the movie that I think it was Disney put on where they dug the holes. They were in the camp. You know, it was...
Yeah, the movie was based on the book.
We read that story when we were in middle school, and that's the only book that Blake owns.
Well, yeah, a lot of good life lessons fiction in there, though?
I don't know. I haven't read it.
Oh, is it teen fiction? Is it like Twilight kind of...
Not,
stuff.
Well, it's not vampires.
But I mean, I'm not saying it's vampires, but I'm saying, is it like that kind of like the same people who would read that, or
it's that level of
that
reading,
divergent stuff that they're all about?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
It's that kind of age group that it's going after.
And,
yeah.
And the reason they asked that was because Andrew Luck said he had started a book club. And that was sort of the preface of the question. But as we heard, Blake only has one book.
Playbook
and Holes.
That'd be two books. He has Holes instead. He has Holes. If you have Holes in your game, Blake, it's because you don't have the playbook as the only book at your house. I'm sure he has the playbook, but it's probably on some kind of Microsoft
like a tablet yeah.
right? The official the tablet of the National Football League. Get it straight, Tony. Don't call it an iPad. They're all the same to me. But, all right, good for him. Holes. Who knew?
Holes.
I haven't read too many books. Like, when I was Blake's age, there's a different whole dynamic going on out there, though,
sure.
man. During that whole that internet thing, Al Gore hadn't got to work yet and straightened me out with the internet. So, stuck with books. Let's get back to Gus Bradley here and talking about the skill set of their third-round pick, which, by the way, I finally got off my lazy duff. Metaphorically, and went to the Facebook page and figured out who won the contest.
Oh,
for goodness sakes. And somebody named Jamie won the contest. Turns out Jamie's in Wichita, Kansas. It does amaze me where people listen to the show from, right? And that they participate. So Jamie won our prize pack, and when Tyler gets back, we'll send it off to him. But he had Miles Jack, Jalen Ramsey, and Yannick Ngakoue all being selected by the Jags, and he was the first one. There were a couple of people that had that trio. I was stunned how many people had Yannick Ngakoue. Probably maybe close to a quarter of the entries had Yannick Ngakoue. So good for you out there in Jaguar land for putting the pieces together and kind of projecting the needs and who might fall to a certain range. Somebody had him going in the fifth round. It didn't really matter where you had him going, but Yannick Ngakoue was a very popular selection. In fact, several people had him and either one or the other of Jalen Ramsey or Miles Jack, but Jamie was our overall winner. Here was what Gus Bradley had to say about Yannick Ngakoue's skill set.
But just some of the skill set that we saw and how fast he picked things up. You know, he's fast. He's got really good speed and his ability to bend. You know, those are two of the big traits, I think, that we saw.
You heard Miles Jack talk about it. I heard Jordan play a clip from it this morning where he's just like, the guy's, you know, what did he say? He's very flexible, bendable, you know, just kind of a quick twitch athlete. Good to see how, you know, well he moves for a guy his size on the football field.
Yeah, it was interesting, you know, a week and a half ago, the Thursday of the draft, I'm down at the stadium. I hung out there all day because I was going to be working on the station's draft show that night. And Jeff Loggeman came in, you know, it's a 6 o'clock show for those guys. So he got to the stadium about 4:30 or so. So he was hanging out in the studio with me. Or I was hanging out with him, is probably more likely, for that hour and a half or so, and we were talking about what was going to be going on that night in the draft and, you know, talking about Joey Bosa and how he feels about that, and he's kind of, on Bosa. I was like, well, who do you like as a pass rusher? And the first guy that he said was that Maryland guy. I don't know how to pronounce his name at all, but that Maryland guy is the guy that I would really like to see them target at some point in this draft, and they wound up getting him in the third round.
There you go.
So Logs was on that one, and I know he talked to T-Wig and Blue about this guy specifically that afternoon, too, when he walked up there at 6 o'clock to go do the show. So I think there was a lot of love out there here in Jacksonville for Yannick Ngakoue before they even made the pick to bring him here to Jacksonville. One of the big surprise picks of the NFL draft for the Jags was Brandon Allen winding up here with the Jaguars, considering they're pretty good at those 1 and 2 spots on the quarterback depth chart. And one of the big question marks about Brandon Allen throughout the draft process was about his hand size. He was the guy that was getting a massage
stretch
to get
him
that
out,
extra
baby.
Quarter of an inch on his hands. Gus was asked about Brandon Allen's not-so-huge hands.
We talk about it. You know, we talk, you know, when we put up the tape and we put it up there and we give height, weight, size, you know, hand size, so it comes up. So I think it's something that you're aware of, but it's more to watch, does it affect him? And we didn't see where it affected him at all. So, you know, it didn't hold us back. It wasn't a major check against him, anything like that.
Big difference, too, when you draft the guy in the sixth round, right?
Yeah.
And can he throw the ball? Yes. Is he a perfect prospect? No, of course he's not a perfect prospect. He wouldn't be there in round six if he were. And, you know, it's 6'1". He's a very accurate guy, though. And that's what I think you're looking for, a guy, Tony, who can come in eventually. And if your starter goes down for a month, you feel like he's not going to drive the bus off the road into the ditch, right? And just keep a steady hand on it, make the plays that are there. Put enough talent around him that, and they hope that's what they're doing, that any backup quarterback has a chance to succeed with this team. Let's hope it never comes to the backup quarterback. All right, we'll get more from Gus Bradley coming up, as well as Miles Jack and others from the weekend that was. But John Osier, the senior writer from Jaguars.com, will join us next to weigh in, including his impressions of Kelvin Beachum. Wrote a very good article that we detailed last week. We'll talk with John. Coming up next with Fat Tony and Jordan DeArmond, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
All right, let's bring him in. Johnny O, the senior writer from Jaguars.com. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Jaguars Today, it's Players Championship Week. Yes, we'll probably mix in a little golf talk throughout the course of the week. It's kind of natural when you're out
there
at the tournament. So be prepared for it. Duval Doom's already shaking his fist at us now on Twitter in anticipation of hearing from golfers that he knows or cares nothing about. Let's go to Johnny O. Everyone cares and knows about Johnny O. Hello, John Osher. How are you, sir?
I got jackhammered out of the studio, Mike.
Did you?
What about that?
Did you? Because Tony did last week. I had a sick day last week. You notice we haven't come back.
I had J.P. Shadrick on the board. He was doing what he does. We were there. We were set. And literally, as we were about to hook up with you guys, it sounds like it's 5 feet over my head. So I'm outside on this beautiful day ready to talk Jags.
Do you know why it sounds like that, John? Because it really is five feet over your head. That's the circumstance. And
Sometimes things are easily explained.
Right. Mark Lamping, by the way, thinks this is the funniest thing in the world. And I get it. He's like, hey, this is progress. That's what he calls it. Means we're upgrading, and you gotta pardon our dust. You got to crack some eggs to make an omelet, and all the other cliches that come along with it. So
he's strikingly unsympathetic with our plight.
I think he actually enjoys the plight a little bit.
Right.
To say, hey, you know what? You got to work hard if you want this spot on Jaguars today. No problem. Hey, listen, before we get to the rookie orientation / mini camp / whatever you want to call it, love the story on Kelvin Beachum last week that you did on Jaguars.com, and really sounds very confident that he's going to be available to this team for the full regular season, John. What were your main takeaways in talking with him for that article?
Well, probably that he has a pretty pitch-perfect attitude, meaning he's coming in here, he expects in his heart to be the left tackle, and he expects to be ready for training camp to compete and to be ready by week one. Now, everything that you hear, and you guys have heard the same thing I have, is that they expect him to be going and ready to compete during training camp. And at that point, we'll see what happens. But certainly he's confident. He said he's doing things. He feels like he's ahead. He's doing football type things, meaning he's doing the movement. He's trying to get himself as ready as possible. So it sounds fantastic. And I have no reason to think he's not ahead of schedule. But it's an ACL. So we've got four unknown months in front of us, and we have to see what happens.
Yeah, and a lot of questions to ask in the meantime. Offensive line is certainly the center of a lot of focus for the fans out there because it doesn't feel like a whole lot was done to try to improve that position group. But Beachum was brought in. It feels like and has felt like since he was signed by the Jags, he's obviously being brought in to push for that left tackle spot. Do you get the sense from either him or Luke Jokel that they would be willing and happy to move inside? Whoever doesn't win that left tackle spot, you think they'd be okay with moving inside to guard, or you think they look at themselves as a tackle or nothing?
Well, you asked three different questions there. Would they be willing? Well, yeah, if they're under contract. I mean, if one of them is a left tackle, I mean, if they're looking for a left tackle job, one of them is not going to win it. So if they ask one of them to move into guard, they're going to move into guard. Would they be happy? I don't think they're going to be happy because they both consider themselves left tackles, and that's the position they're going after. Would they be okay with it? Deep down, I think they would want to be the left tackle. But I didn't get an impression from Beachum when I was talking to him. And I think this is the bigger question. He was quoted at some point in January, February, and it's been interpreted that he has said he won't play left tackle. I didn't get that impression from him. He's not, I mean, that he wouldn't play
guard. Won't play guard, right.
I didn't get that impression from him. I got the impression that this is a guy who very much believes that mindset is important. He has his goal. He has his way that he is going to think. I think he is going to be a left tackle until they tell him he's not a left tackle, if that makes sense. And if they tell him, hey, Luke Jokel beat you out, you're playing guard, then I think he'll go play guard. But I didn't get the impression that if Luke Jokel wins the job, that you're going to see him pack his bags and leave. I mean, that's not what's going on here, if that makes any sense.
Sure. And, John, let's say that Beecham does win the left tackle spot. How well suited to playing guard do you think Luke Jokel is, in your opinion?
Well, you know, it's hard to say because we haven't seen it. But this team, I think, certainly believes he can. I would be surprised, this is my personal opinion, I would be surprised if one of those two guys ended up starting left guard. I think the starting line is Parnell, Can, Linder, and some combination of Beecham and Jokel. I could be wrong, but that's my thought. I think Jokel can do it because his problems have generally been when he gets outside, gets a little off balance over his feet, and then gets beat as a combination of strength and speed on the outside rush. I've seen him run block very well. When something's right in front of him, I think he's played okay. So, yeah, he's 6'7". That's probably not the ideal height for a guard. People have done it before. I think he could do okay with it, but that's sort of an unknown because we haven't seen it.
Gus Bradley speaking this weekend, obviously, at the rookie orientation and talking about that offensive line a little bit. With all the rookies coming in, nobody on that offensive line in the rookie class but still ask the questions about what's going on with a couple of those guys, including Luke Jokel. But the bigger question being, where is Brandon Linder going to play on this offensive line? And apparently he's getting the offseason reps as the first-team center with this team, at least for now. John, do you feel like they have confidence that he can be the center for this team going forward?
Well, they're not saying it officially yet, but everything I've heard when they've talked at the combine, when they've talked publicly, there's been nothing to indicate to me that Brandon Linder's not going to start center. I think they think he can do it. I think they believe that he's the best interior offensive lineman, and it's the most important interior offensive line position, center. I think they think he can be really good at it, and I think that's where they wanted to play. So, at this point, if I sit down to write a story that Brandon Linder's starting a guard, I'll be surprised writing that story. I won't be surprised if I'm writing starting center.
Yeah, and it looks, John, not only there, but other places, you know, you're starting to say, well, we've got good options. We can, if we don't do this, we can do this. And, you know, you're not putting guys in out of desperation. You know, with Miles Jack, I don't think they know where they want to play him yet because he's so versatile.
Probably not guard.
But, you know, look, he was lining up at middle linebacker. I don't know how you tell when there's only one linebacker out there at rookie orientation. But I get, you know, I could see him as the long-term replacement for Paul Posluszny, but it seems pretty clear right now you'd be wasting, I think, some of the best talent in your linebacking core if you didn't have Posluszny in there on first and second down. So it's as simple as Miles Jack is an early down auto for them this year, or strong side linebacker, more of a traditional one, and then maybe moves to the middle on third down.
Yeah, well, and I'm going to couch this by saying I think it's going to play out in the sense of how quickly he picks everything up, how comfortable he is over at that strong side spot when they look at him there. I think bare minimum he's going to be on the field in every passing situation, which means probably 55% of the plays. I don't think he's going to start a middle linebacker this year, but I think it's certainly going to be a case where Paul Posluszny is your first and second down run guy that they trust there, and then Miles Jack and Telvin Smith are going to be your guys running around the middle of the field trying to take away tight end as your combination weak side nickel linebackers in passing situations, which is the majority of what you're playing these days. So how much will he play auto? How much will they have Dan Scuda in there? I'm not sure of that yet, and I think that's what we're going to watch play out during training camp and preseason, how comfortable he is there, how that works. And I think – I'm not sure they know yet. I think they want to try some things out. It makes sense to me you put him in the middle and start teaching him middle linebacker stuff this weekend.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
This date in football history is brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. I got some famous birthdays for this date, Tony, at least in the city of Jacksonville.
Nice.
They should be semi-famous. Born on this date in 1977, former Jaguar linebacker Danny Clark. was born. He's 39 years old. His name cannot come up on this program with you and I without recounting the story from December of 2005. If you recall, back in December of 2005 or thereabouts, Danny Clark was playing with the Oakland Raiders against the San Diego Chargers in one particular week. And he, quote, gave LaDainian Tomlinson the business under the pile, right? And
it was like a big NFL story.
It was a big thing that Tomlinson was hurt. He went for like a month without hitting 100 yards or scoring a touchdown. The Chargers were in a playoff push, and they came up like a game short of making the postseason. And they believe the injury to Tomlinson is what cost them a spot in the postseason. Danny Clark was the culprit. Apparently was jamming his fist up into his rib cage under the pile to the point where they called it a bruise, but it lasted for like 5 weeks. And Tomlinson, I went back and looked at some of it, was quoted as saying, yeah, ain't no bruise, man. I would not call it a bruise if I'm still talking about it right. 5 weeks later. It's worse than that. So we called up Danny Clark when the story broke because we had a cell number. And we're like, Danny, what's up? It's the boys in Jacksonville. Hey, how y'all doing? Hey, what are you doing right now? Well, I'm sitting on the team plane right now on the tarmac and getting ready. I think they're going to play Buffalo that week, right?
Whoever it was.
They're taking a cross-country trip. And Randy Moss was in the news that week for doing something, because Randy Moss at that time was always in the news for doing something.
Well, we asked him about what happened with Tomlinson on the bottom of the pile.
Right.
And Danny was just kind of,
We
kind of knew this is going nowhere, so you asked, can you put Randy on the phone?
Put Moss on the phone. Is Moss on the plane? Put him on the phone. He goes, huh? Hello? Click. I got to tell you, I believe that may have been the last time we've spoken with Danny Clark.
I think it might be.
Hope you're doing well, Danny. Happy birthday. Born in the state in 1981. This is the guy that got the question of the day going in my mind. Greg Jones, born in the state. Loved Greg Jones as a player. A great guy. And he was a fan favorite, I think. Never made a Pro Bowl. MJD even weighed in on the question this morning to vote for Greg Jones. His favorite Jaguar to never make a Pro Bowl. Also born in the state, Jake Long, the former left tackle of the Miami Dolphins, then went to the Rams, Tony, and really has been a shell of himself the last couple of seasons. Injuries. He's only 31 years old, but he's pretty much done
right.
in the NFL. Four-time Pro Bowler. And you recall the Dolphins took him number one overall, and Bill Parcells infamously said a couple years later, we should have taken Matt Ryan, despite the fact that Long made all those Pro Bowls. There you go. This State in Football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done, if you're in the market for a family dentist, you need to stop snoring, or someone in your family does, Dr. McCall can help you with all these things. 620-9225. Visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Former Jacksonville Jaguars running back Bernard Pierce, currently a free agent, has been suspended by the NFL for the first two games of wherever he's going to be by the time he gets signed again. The league hasn't given an official reason for the suspension yet. Pierce was claimed off the Jags off waivers last year after a DUI arrest that caused the Baltimore Ravens to cut him last March, so it could still be stemming from that arrest. San Diego signed 30-year-old Matt Slauson to a two-year deal after he was released by the Bears last week. Slauson is expected to be used as a center with the Chargers, but the team also drafted Max Turk out of USC in the third round of the draft this year. Sam Bradford, after about a month of complaining and missing the first 2 weeks of the Philadelphia Eagles offseason program because they traded up to number two to select quarterback Carson Wentz out of North Dakota State in the draft, has rejoined the team as of today. Bradford, through his agent Tom Condon, had made it clear that he was unhappy and demanded a trade that the Eagles never reportedly even allowed Condon and company to seek after signing a two-year, $35 million deal this offseason. The expectation was that Bradford would not rejoin the Eagles until their mandatory minicamp in June. He ended that quote-unquote holdout today, reporting on May 9th. Miami has signed 34-year-old defensive end Cameron Wake to a two-year contract extension with $10 million guaranteed at signing, $15 million total in the deal. That number can jump up to $17 million with incentives. Wake missed the last nine games of the 2015 season because of a torn Achilles tendon.
I need him in one of my IDP Dynasty leagues. So, come on, Cameron. Come back.
Those Achilles, man.
That's why that story is pertinent to me.
He probably won't be the same guy till 2017, if ever.
Right, if ever. And they signed him to a two-year deal, and the feeling is that may be it for him, you know, the next couple years for Cameron Wake. He's been a hell of a player, right?
No doubt.
What a great find out of the Canadian Football League for the Miami Dolphins. Every time I hear Matt Slauson, when I hear Slauson, I think Snossages. It's not that close, but I do. I don't know why. That allegedly delicious dog treat. I heard some commercial. I think it was, I don't know if it was yesterday or this morning, where someone said the delicious dog treat. And I'm like, how do you know it's a delicious dog treat?
Yeah, some people have tried them.
Dude, I mean, has this person tried them?
I don't know, but some people have tried them.
Are you going word of mouth? Have you ever tried a dog treat?
Yeah.
You have? What was the situation here, Jordan?
It was on accident. You know, it was late at night. I was driving back to Nashville. I had my beef jerky bag.
So you weren't drunk?
No. No, but I thought it was beef jerky. I had my beef jerky bag. I had my dog treats right next to him. Reach in, grab a handful of what I thought was beef jerky, and it was dog treats.
How much beef jerky is she shoving in her maw, Tony?
How was it?
A handful. Yeah.
What? It was terrible.
Was it like immediately? Did you like chew it for like 13 seconds and then go, wait a minute?
It was about 5 seconds. I was chewing. I was like, wait. This is not beef jerky. This is not the teriyaki beef jerky I just bought at the store.
Was your dog in the car with you?
Yeah, all three of them.
Okay. I was going to say, otherwise, do you just roll with an open bag of dog treats all the time?
Yeah, you know, it's the normal thing to do.
Try to figure out her situation, Tony. People in Nashville, I don't know. You know, right. That whole state of Tennessee. Like, by the way, has
you feed your dog enough pepperoni, at some point you're like, how good is that?
And it seems like it's reasonable. They had dog ice cream now. Do you see that? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Frozen paws.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. You go to the novelty section, and there it is. If there's a dog on it, you probably don't want to buy it. Okay, that one would seem like it could slip past the goalie rather easily. Oh, let's get some ice cream. Oh, look at the cute dog in the package. Let's get that for the kids.
You could probably prank somebody with that.
Kids love puppies. You probably could, right? I don't know what it looks like.
Like, pepperoni really does look like a Slim Jim.
Yeah,
it really does. Like, you could just hand somebody it's a Slim Jim and just watch. Just see if there's any reaction or if they just think it's a really weird Slim Jim.
Huh.
I don't know.
I'm not sure if we're projecting on these dogs. Like, are the dogs going, man, this is really some delicious kibble right here. I mean, dry, check. You know, I don't know if we know what the dogs really, really like all that much. But I guess if they wolf it down, that would probably be okay. It would probably be an indicator. All right, shall we get back to Gus Bradley here?
Why not?
Now, give me JJ. What do we got the one cut from Ngakoue here? Is that him telling us how to properly pronounce his name?
We have to listen to this.
All right, should we do that first so we know how to properly pronounce Mr. Ngakoue's name? Is it Yannick? Is that what we're going with?
It sounds like that. Let's
all right,
do it.
Let's see. Jordan's giving me the finger, but she's also telling me, hold on a second, I believe. It's got multiple uses, or maybe not. Maybe she's just giving me the finger at this point in time. It sounded to me like Ogier clearly said Yannick, right?
He did. He said it in a way that I haven't heard it.
Like Dominique Wilkins, kind of. It would be the eek
and
sound.
In my head, I was like, well, he was down there, so maybe they figured this thing out this week.
Yes. Now, the tennis player, Yannick Noah, right? Joakim. I don't even know how to pronounce his name, Tony.
Noah,
right. But his dad, the tennis player, it was Yannick, right? Not Yannick, right?
Pretty sure it was Yannick.
But you can pronounce your name however you like to pronounce your name. So we want to get it right. Here's how Mr. Ngakoue pronounces his name.
Yannick Ngakoue?
Yannick.
Yannick Ngakoue.
Ngakoue. We had Ngakoue, I think.
Who would have thought that Ngakoue would be the first part we figured
so
out?
It's so easy, right? It really is not hard. It's like, it's a weird looking name and when you first look at it and you're like, oh, Ngakoue. That's not hard, and it's not one you even forget. All right, give it to us one more time, Jordan, please.
Yannick Ngakoue.
Yannick.
Yannick.
Yannick. All right, there you go. Yannick. Yannick Ngakoue.
I hope that gets to Dave Caldwell, who still doesn't know what to do with AJ Khan.
Yeah, Khan.
Every time that he talks to me, he's like, Khan. He's a good right guard.
I think he's talking about James Khan. I don't know who he's talking about. He confuses me. And I think he's the GM. Don't correct him, and maybe he's right. Maybe we're all wrong. I don't know.
No, Can tweeted it out himself.
I know. Picture
of a can.
We asked him.
How you say my name.
We asked him personally, Tony. But it's okay. I think that's just Dave just showing off that he's the man. You know, he's in good stead right now. He can get away with saying anybody's name the way, despite the lack of wins. Doggy donuts are good. We just got on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. All right, maybe we need to have a day, Tony, where people bring in their favorite edible dog treat, and
I'm not eating them.
And we'll give them a pair of tickets to something
or
other.
We'll let JJ try them.
You know what?
The interns get this kind of
JJ gave a thumbs up. He doesn't care. JJ, are
I
you...
was just complaining the other day that there's not enough free food around here in the morning. So let's do it, man.
Is JJ technically still an intern? Are you getting any kind of credit? You're just now kind of like
I'm chilling, man.
A hanger on.
I'm chilling.
What's JJ doing? He's chilling. He's just chilling. Just hanging out. All right. You know what? Let's take the time out now. We'll come back. We'll hear from Unique Ngakoue. And we'll also hear a little bit more from Gus Bradley, a little bit from Miles Jack, as they got a chance to address the media over the weekend. If you'd like to get in, 641-1010. Question of the day is, who is your favorite Jaguar that's never made a Pro Bowl? All-time favorite Jaguar that never made a Pro Bowl, and why? Unique Ngakoue. So Irish Jag asks, so is Unique pronounced like unique, except like Yannick? Yes, it's kind of like that. The Neek part is the same, apparently. Unique Ngakoue.
Yeah.
Get it straight.
Sounds like the stress is on the ya. Unique.
Unique.
Yeah.
Unique?
Unique.
Unique? All right. Unique Ngakoue. There you have it. Coming back, it's Wild West Guns and Gold. Monday, Wild West Guns and Gold, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories. Everything from revolvers to sporting arms and pretty much everything in between as well. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA. Guaranteed. Trade your gold for guns at Wild West Guns and Gold. Visit guns4jax.com. That's guns, the number 4, J-A-X.com. Online, or better yet, stop by and see them at South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, we got some goodies, Tony. You know, if you messed up for Mother's Day, I hope you didn't. I really hope you didn't. It's not one you want to screw up on. It's pretty well publicized and all that. But if you did, if you missed out, who knows? Maybe your loved one was out of town. You still have a little extra time. We got you. We got you today. This is a ridiculous prize pack that I've got right here, okay? Gift certificate from Pro Flowers, a Peterbrook chocolate basket, plus a certificate from a company called The Maids, which is good for a one-hour, what they call a 22 Healthy Touch Clean, okay? $160 value just for that. To come to your house and clean your stuff up, right, you dirty pig.
Nice.
All right. So, yes, it is nice. Are you kidding me? Because I definitely have some dirty pig in me. There's no question. I would like to win this prize. Here's what you're going to have to do. If you want the gift certificate from Pro Flowers, a Peterbrook chocolate basket, and a gift certificate from The Maids, good for a one-hour 22 Healthy Touch Clean, be the third caller at 641-1010. And then once the third caller gets in, be the first one who can properly pronounce the name of the Jaguars' most recent third-round draft pick. I'm not going to say it again. If you're listening to the program, you heard how he pronounced it. And whether it's JJ or Jordan answering the phone, they will be the arbiter of whether or not you pronounce it correctly. Don't say, I said it right. They've got it. If you say it the way that they think is the proper way, they're going to give you the prize pack, provided you're at least the third caller at 641-1010. That's a healthy prize pack
right there.
Well over $200 value.
Yeah, it's nice.
Like that, man.
I can't afford maid service.
Right? Seriously. Hey, wife, work harder. I'm kidding, honey. I'm joking.
Like with the Powerball, when everyone was going nuts with the Powerball, you know, a couple months ago. Like, I was going through my own house, like, what would I do? Like, if I won the Powerball, what would I do? And two of the first things I would do would be, obviously, I'm going to go get the house, car, whatever. Like, that's all going to happen.
You're going to get a house, car? That would be awesome.
House, car, all that stuff, right?
But, all that good. I got a girlfriend.
Maid.
All that good stuff.
And a professional cook are towards the absolute top of my list of things that would be in my life almost immediately. Maid and cook.
Right.
Right. Someone cook
chef
gourmet meals for me every day.
Every day. And then maybe you'd probably be in better shape, right? You wouldn't just be
probably
a fat pig. It wouldn't be like, make me 10 cakes today.
Right. I don't have to figure out how to, like, eat healthy. I just tell them I want to eat right.
I want to eat well, but I want it to taste good,
right,
too. I don't want some frou-frou, bad-tasting, dog food-tasting
right
stuff.
And I don't have to worry
like
about it.
Like people in Nashville are down with. I don't know about that. But all right. I don't know how we're doing on the naming of the third-round pick or not, but JJ's writing things down,
yeah,
so we may have a winner in there right now. That's a hell of a prize pack that someone is going to be awarded. Good for you out there. What the heck is going on this morning? Why is it's a weird day? MJD replied to our tweet, you know, our question of the day. Leon Washington has got on board. I mean, what's going on out there? All you,
I don't know.
We appreciate it. We like you guys participating in the program. Leon Washington is the goods, man. Love that guy. Let's get back to Gus Bradley. Let's hope he's the goods for the Jags this year. We're picking up with cut five in the radio business, is what we call it. With their fourth round pick, we know how to pronounce Sheldon Day, I think. Otherwise, we're in trouble. Gus was asked about what Sheldon Day is going to bring to this football team.
First and foremost, I think his power. He's really powerful. You know, coming out of his stance and, you know, with the sled work that we did. But then, you know, you kind of look at him, can he be that inside rusher? And you saw us get off, and he's pretty natural in there. And, you know, but a very strong, very good technician as well.
Yeah, Sheldon Day, the fourth round pick. And I know we had a texter last week, and I think he replied again today on the text line that Sheldon Day is his favorite Jaguar of all time. He hasn't even played a snap.
He also had, no, it's the Notre Dame guy, because he also had Ronaldo Wynn in there.
Yeah.
Right.
He likes the Notre Dame
no
guys.
No, Derek Brown? Sorry.
I mean, that's fine. That's fine. Love who you want to love. I'm curious to see with Sheldon Day if he's strong enough against the run to maybe expand some of his playing time to get some of that time at nose, too, because he feels like he's big enough to do that, but I'm not sure if he's strong enough against the run at this point to do that for this Jaguars team, but certainly looks like a pass-rushing three-technique guy, if nothing else, for the Jags and sub-packages. Gus Bradley also asked about Jalen Ramsey and just being impressed by that guy's workout.
I mean, when he walks on the field and you put him through drill work, boy, I mean, he's done a great job of staying in shape and coming in and be able to jump in the drills. So, you know, he's a guy that's got really good length and really good speed, and as you can imagine, those things showed up in some of the drill work that we did, so...
All right, let's jump ahead to cut eight here. I just gave Jordan a signal that I've worked out with Tyler. She looked at me like, huh? What are you doing? Gus asked about Luke Joeckel and how is Joeckel taking the fact that he did not get his fifth-year option picked up in his rookie deal.
You know, I think Luke Joeckel, that's right now, you know, I can't speak for him, but I think what I can tell you from Luke Joeckel now visiting with him, he's very focused. He's always been like that, but I think that, you know, a lot of things now, he's just very focused individual. And so whether we picked it up or not, I don't see much effect on him other than he's just extremely focused.
That, to me, Tony, is going to be fascinating to see. Do they think that the loser of that is automatically their best option at one of those guard spots?
Sure.
You know, I look at Luke Joeckel and I don't see the typical guard type body and all the, look, open competition, he'll have his chance. He'll have his chance to play left tackle, first of all, right? You can't write him off completely. You got a guy coming in off a torn ACL. So, let the battle be waged there. But I think they have so many options right now at that other guard spot, with Bernardo and Shatley and Belanco and, you know, different combinations that they can play. JJ, we got a winner on our third round pick. Did we have to go deep or did the first person get it?
No, the third caller did not get it right. He said Yannick.
Yannick.
Fourth caller got it.
Yannick Ngakoue. There we go.
Yeah, and I was listening carefully. Yeah, I was listening carefully to, you know, Gus Bradley talking about Joeckel there and wanted to hear if he used the term pretty good. You know, because, you know, he gave us the
damning
insight
with faint
last
praise.
Year.
Yeah,
yeah, the pretty good. And, you know, when I say pretty good, that means he needs to get better. But he didn't use that phrase when talking about Joeckel, so he's not gotten to that point with him yet. Miles Jack, obviously, here over the weekend as well, courtesy of Jaguars.com. We're getting this sound, and he talked about learning some of these new plays.
It comes down to applying yourself. I kind of take concepts that I've learned from college and try and switch it over to their language, you know, because it's similar things. It's just everybody says stuff in a different way. So trying to, like, kind of translate it to what they're saying and then learn it, write it down, study it while I'm watching the playoffs, like, go over it and everything and just cement it in my mind and kind of forget what I learned in college and, you know, everywhere else. But not to say it's not difficult, but, you know what I mean, you just really have to apply yourself and just kind of go over it again. And, you know, the coaches make it real easy because they'll say a play and show how it's supposed to work, and then they'll show me, like, the good and bad, you know what I mean, like the flaws and, you know, the good stuff that can come out of the play, so I can learn, like, what to do and what not to do. So they're making it real easy for me, man, and I'm picking it up, which is good. So, yeah, it's good.
I'm so happy Miles Jack is here in Jacksonville. I'm sorry. I'm going to go all fanboy on you. I was up in Chicago, of course, for the draft, right, and several of our co-hosts on Sirius are ladies, okay, and A couple of them were working the red carpet on Thursday night, and one of them may have been smitten with Miles Jack.
Oh, really?
She came back and said, he's so regal. He's so I know, right? I'm like, whoa, he's so regal.
What a word.
He's just so beautiful in person. And I'm like, wow, all right, good day, Miles Jack. I don't know if it's the intoxicant that of soon to be found riches, Tony, or what it was. I mean, look, all these guys are in shape, but Miles Jack, apparently you have at least one admirer out there. Miles Jack talking about now the whole situation with the Pac-12. You got to go back out there. I think this is such a screwed up rule, all right? Could you imagine another business where, all right, they take you out of school early because you're just a savant. You're good at what you do. You don't need a degree in what you do to be good at it necessarily. But then they tell you, well, you can't come to work until this semester is over with, whether you dropped out of school or not. Miles Jack, part of the Pac-12, that's part of the rules out there. They go a little bit later in their calendar, and so you miss some time with these guys after the initial rookie minicamp, which you're allowed to attend. You was talking or was asked about having to miss that time.
I'm definitely going to be as involved as I possibly can. But, I mean, obviously you can't get that. I think I'm missing like a month and some change. So, I mean, you can't get that time back. I mean, there's no way to. So I'm just going to make the most of it. And hopefully when I come in, I have the best idea of the playbook I possibly can, so that way they can kind of clean me up and everything and get me right.
Yeah, it's an illogical rule. There's no logic to that rule at all. But one last cut here from Jack, talking to Jaguars.com, talking about some of his new rookie teammates he got to be out there on the field with for the first time.
A guy like Jalen, of course, to be as long and as tall as he is, but to be able to move so fluid and everything. And then Yannick is just, he's a beast, man. He's real flexible, real nimble. To be that big, he can get around the corner and everything. So it's definitely cool seeing the guys that you come in with and just seeing what they bring to the table.
I will not tell the regal Miles Jack how to pronounce his new teammate's name. Yes, Jordan, but Yannick may tell him how to pronounce his name. How do you say it?
Ngakoue.
Say it again, please.
Yannick Ngakoue.
One more time.
Yannick Ngakoue.
All right, there you go. Yannick Ngakoue. Miles Jack. By the way, Doom says if you want to see Regal, go Google Miles Jack's girlfriend. Forthcoming. Trust me. It's coming up. Let's get to Yannick Ngakoue. Asked about going up against NFL quality Big Ten offensive tackles. He matched up with a couple of first rounders. Tony, in Decker and Conklin, and pretty much came out on top in some of those head-to-head matchups. Here's what he had to say about it.
I think it helped me a lot. It showed me that I'm versatile, and those are guys that's going to be playing on Sundays. And I did real good against those guys, and it just shows that I can compete on this level.
Especially when you talk about one of them who just went to your division rival after a trade-up into the top 10. And Ngakoue had a pretty good day against Conklin, so you like that level of competition. You're not going to question him. He may not have been a household name for everyone, but certainly on the Jaguars' radar, as we talked about, there was a growing sense that he may be a guy that they coveted as the draft approached.
Sure, and you heard Miles Jack talk about the athleticism of this guy. Yannick is a guy who switched sports at one point in time, going from soccer to football. Did that help that athleticism? He talked about that switch for himself.
I kind of started watching football, like NFL Network and stuff like that when I was a kid, like growing up, and then I didn't want to play soccer no more, so I wanted to play football. But my mom, she was pretty scared because she didn't want me to get hurt, nothing like that, and I convinced her that I'd be fine, and it turned out to be pretty good. So,
How'd you convince her?
Well, I just told her I was going to be careful and be safe, and she believed me, so.
Moms out there, all right? I'm not going to tell you don't have your kids play football, but you can be careful to a degree, okay? But we've how many times have you heard over the years, Tony, how counterproductive? Usually the guys who get hurt are the guys who are trying not to get hurt, right?
Yep.
Because you got to play that game with a degree of reckless abandon. All right, Yannick Ngakoue, and finally asked about what he needs to do to improve to the point where he can see himself as a three-down player for Jacksonville.
Basically, you know, just working hard every day, hitting the bags, you know, just making sure my feet is all together, my footwork, things of that nature. So that's all I have to do. Like I said, breaking down film and staying focused.
All right, just work hard. Keep improving.
And I think, look, honestly, I think they need him to turn into that type of player. I think Dante Fowler Jr. is obviously a guy they select number 3 overall before he has that injury, and they expect him to be a guy that can play that Leo. Wherever they need him on the field, can play it for all three downs. But they have Ryan Davis, who I don't feel like they've ever really liked in running situations, and nothing else really at that Leo spot, that right end spot in this Jaguars defense. So I think it is important for Yannick to get to a point early on in his career where he can basically spell Dante Fowler Jr. on more than just, hey, we're bringing him in on a pass rushing down, because you want Dante to be able to go for those kind of plays as well, I'm assuming, if you're going to draft him at number three overall. And again, it's about lightening the burden a little bit on Dante Fowler Jr. going into his first real season in the NFL, and they need somebody else that can play on rundowns from time to time if that's going to happen.
Got to admit, I missed the last 45 seconds of what you said, because I finally hit Miles Jack's girlfriend on Google, and Regal would be a good description of the young Miss Spencer. So there you have it. How do people – is this a thing – I mean – do people immediately go out and Google all the draft picks and see who they're hanging with, or what? Or
I don't know.
How does that come up? Like, or
it was like a Blake Bortles thing while he was going through the process.
Right, Bortles. Right, his girlfriend was like a swimsuit model, and you'd seen her, you know, and all that. So you got that, and I mean, look, Miles Jack's girlfriend is gorgeous, and I just don't know. Was this like a big thing during the draft? Did they talk about her a lot? Because I was on the air. I didn't, you know, see what was happening on Thursday night as they're spending the first round talking about the Miles Jack slide. But regardless, Regal, whatever you want to go with, that's absolutely fine. So there you have it. All right, coming back, Fan Feedback Spotlight today asks you, who's your all-time favorite Jaguar who never made a Pro Bowl, and why is that player so near and dear to your heart? We'll share some of the feedback that we got on that one. Coming up with you, with Fat Tony, with Jordan DeArmond and J.J. LaSelva, I am Mike Dempsey. It is Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, somebody sent a great photo of David Garrard and Blake Bortles together out at Retro Fitness. Remember, we talked about this on a Friday, Tony. Mm-hmm. Retro Rage was opening up. David Garrard had a free gym day, kind of an orientation if you wanted to come out and try the Retro Fitness, one of his locations this weekend. And Blake Bortles and a number of other Jaguars, past and present, showed up to help support David. And this great photo up on the Facebook page. I'm going to tweet it out. Marshall sent along. I said, thanks to David G at Retro Fitness. Made my kid's day. And we met the future legend. Hard to not see Jaguar fans having big smiles on their face with those two guys out there. I'm telling you, Garrard right now, looks like, if you needed somebody to run some reps at linebacker for you, he and Darius and Miles Jack would be your three, right?
Beer truck.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable, those guys. We asked you today, as Jaguar fans, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question today: who's your all-time favorite Jaguar who never made the Pro Bowl, and why is that player your all-time favorite? It could be just because he was good, he was exceptional, he did something at a game that you attended, or maybe you met him in person, maybe he was nice to your kid, whatever the reason, we love to hear these stories. And I think, Tony, for a fan base that's only had a team for, you know, shortly over 20 years, there's such a great connection with some of these guys, the original group that took this team to ascendancy in that first 5 years in the league. So many of them have made their home here on the First Coast, you know, and they're part of the community, and they're friends of, you know, fans grew up, and maybe they were just a fan and they become friends with these people because they are just good guys and are part of the community. They were lucky. It's not luck. They, you know, some of it is who you try to attract to your roster, but let's put it this way. Tom Coughlin took a few more chances with the roster back in the day than Dave Caldwell. Dave Caldwell has been a very by the book in terms of character. I mean, the Bernard Pierce thing was really a rare step out and on a guy who had had such a public misstep as to get a DUI.
No, it really was. And it feels like, too, they're getting to a point now in the build where you're going to see them start taking a few more chances. Miles Jack isn't a character chance.
Not at all.
It's a different kind of chance, but you're seeing them try to swing for the fences a little bit more and what they're going to do, but they are bringing in guys that fit what they want to do from a program perspective. Look, Tom Coughlin is a guy who led him to all that kind of success from 96 to 99. He's also the guy who drafted R.J. Soward, right? Like, he was willing to do that kind of thing if he thought that could help the team. It turned out to not help the team at all, not even for a day, did R.J. Soward ever help this football team with a first-round pick, but Tom was willing to take those kind of chances on guys.
You know who it helped? It helped whoever would have been the first receiver cut or the last receiver cut.
Right.
Because they got to hang around a little bit longer thanks to that misstep. But you're right. Look, once you build a good foundation in the locker room, too, you can do that, and I think the Jags feel that. Now, even though they have a young team, they have some guys that they point to that they feel like are going to be the leaders in that locker room for a long time to come. And once you start developing a base of that,
sure,
you know, you bring in a guy who maybe has had a few missteps, and it's either get with the program or hit the road, Jack. So no pun intended with the Jack. All right, moving along on Twitter, what kind of feedback did we get there?
He didn't include the hashtag, but since he's going into the Pride, you know. I'll let MJD slide.
First in this morning, I think, right?
He was, and he responded, well, Mike, I'm going to have to go with Greg Jones and the entire offensive line from 2006 to 2013. Both blocked for multiple 100-yard rushers. So there you go. From Mojo, from Black Dog. We got Daryl Smith, consistent, solid anchor, clean on and off the field, but perpetually underrated. From Chad, how is this question even close? Favorite with no Pro Bowl Jag, it's Jeff Loggeman, and said that Jeff Loggeman was an inspiration to him when he was playing Division II ball. From Daniel, I am going to say Brad Meester. Don't think he made a Pro Bowl. He did not. From Duval Doom, wanted to answer Montel, but remembered he did make it as a special teamer.
Made a couple, I think, right?
He did. So I'm going to go Fernando Bryant, since you already mentioned Double D. The reason is because he used to buy all his phones from me at Radio Shack. That's a good enough reason.
Yeah.
From Isaiah, Telvin Smith, overlooked for too long. Apparently 2 years. From Joey, Double D, love Donovan's attitude. That was a bad dude.
I agree. He maybe my favorite. The guys I've personally been the closest to are David Garrard, Maurice Jones-Drew, and Donovan Darius, I think, in my time. And that's not a slight to anybody else. I have plenty of guys that I consider, you know, friends that have played for the Jags in the past. But those three in particular, I've had, you know, a long-term ongoing friendship with. And so out of that group, Double D never made the Pro Bowl. It's an easy selection for me. Going to the Facebook page, Tony, where we got a lot of response on this as well. And we used the photo of Greg Jones because it is his birthday, along with Danny Clark. And Chris Brown said, did Yurko ever get to a Pro Bowl? If not, it's definitely him. I don't think Yurko ever did make a Pro Bowl.
I don't think so.
Didn't make one here anyway. I don't think he made one elsewhere. If he did, though, and he's disqualified, I'd say TJ Slaughter. Not because he wields a gun at people, but because that's the best football name ever. Hashtag Jaguar State. That's a pretty good name for a linebacker. Slaughter? That's not too bad. He and Aiken Adell ran South Beach for a while. At least the way the stories were told to us, that's how it went down back in the day. Aiken Adell and TJ Slaughter were fast friends in the business. Aiken was another one of my all-time favorites with the Jags. He's one of the first guys who was a really good player. You know, he wasn't a Pro Bowler, obviously, but he was a really good player, and he would come in with us and sit in studio for like an hour and talk Jaguar football back in the day, and really, we could live vicariously through his South Beach exploits as well, which was always fun. Marshall said Greg Jones because he did all the dirty work for our Pro Bowlers, and again, he's the one who said thanks to David G at Retro Fitness, made the kids' day, and we met the future legend. I just tweeted out the photo of that. I hope that's okay, Marshall. I did tell him I was going to steal it, so I told him ahead of time. Damon went with Telvin Smith, an absolute baller, tackler, one of the top seven linebackers in the league, says Damon, but steadily gets overlooked because he plays for the Jags. No respect is given, but should be. All right. Joshua went with Rob Meyer, high effort, high motor player, and he stepped up when we needed him to. He's getting all the cliches in there. I think he quietly enjoyed his entire career here and had a few nice seasons strung together towards the end. Hashtag Jaguars today. Rob Meyer is one of the most unsung Jags, and all you have to do is ask John Henderson and Marcus Stroud how good a player Rob Meyer was, because they always say, everyone says Henderson and Stroud. Don't forget Rob Meyer. They're the ones who always make you point out that it was a three-man effort. And look, that's them standing up for their teammate, but they had a lot of respect for that guy. One of the best draft picks, getting him in the seventh round this franchise has ever made. Jamie Clark said Matt Jones because someone has to root for the underdog. All right. Dustin also went with Matt Jones, but because he said the guy knew how to party. So Steve Muncy went with Paul Spicer because dude had a motor and a heart. Still does.
Yes,
Chad,
he does.
Chad went with Joel Schmenge because I loved yelling, Schmenge! Should
Didn't
we get
we all?
Is Jacko in here? Can we get Jacko?
I don't know.
Jacko, if you're in your office listening right now, come on over and give us the schmangy. Because Jacko was the Jags PA guy. He's the schmangy guy. Tommy went with Russell Allen, try-hard guy who had a really sad end to his career. This is his birthday, I think, about a week ago. We talked about him. Yeah. He had the on-field stroke for Russell Allen and was a very productive guy. Not a super talent, but on a team that just needed solid guys at the time, he was a prolific tackler in that linebacking core for a couple of seasons. Saqib went with Aaron Beasley. He's not the only one to mention Aaron Beasley. He says he's never got to go to one. I checked. You were correct on that. Aaron Beasley is a very solid player. I'm guessing we're getting trolled on any mentions of Blaine Gabbert, is my guess.
No one could have Blaine Gabbert as their favorite.
Miles Jones, I think this is too obscure to be trolling. Miles went with George Reister and just said, you know, great player if injuries hadn't cut short his career. You know, talented guy, but a great player might have been much. But regardless, you know, Blaine Gabbert, Tony, the report over the weekend is San Fran is hoping he holds off Kaepernick. It's really ugly out there between Kaepernick and the front office. He apparently doesn't trust Trent Baalke. He's not going to help or wouldn't help facilitate a trade. And I don't blame him because he has guaranteed money coming his way. And the only way, for instance, Denver would trade for him is if he cut that maybe in half.
I mean,
I'm not throwing away $7 million either if I'm Colin Kaepernick. Who's going to give you the next big deal, right? So, but the idea is they said they would like Gabbert to win the job and for Kaepernick to be shaky enough that they could justify naming him as the number three quarterback so he could be inactive on game day and avoid paying him game day bonuses, active roster bonuses on game day.
Well, something stinks in San Francisco and has for a couple years, honestly. When you're watching guys like Patrick Willis and the absolute rats running from it felt like a sinking ship last offseason, and you combine that with what they've done this year with who's the offensive tackle that stepped away?
Anthony Davis.
Yeah, Anthony Davis, who on draft weekend was on Twitter and basically said, you know, I'm not going to go play for a team that doesn't want to win right now, is basically what he said. So it doesn't sound like he's coming back this year, and it's because of a disagreement that he has with the way that organization is being run. And to top all that off, you bring in a guy like Chad Kelly, who the players in the league, or Chip Kelly, they just don't like him. Like it feels like players in the league right now just don't like Chip Kelly and the way his style of coaching. And it's a reason why San Francisco had the second, third most money in the league to spend and basically got to spend none of it during free agency. I don't think anybody wants to be out there right now. And it's a combination of everything they're doing in that front office.
Which is crazy. Legacy franchise, yeah. Right? I mean, California lifestyle, San Fran's a very metropolitan, cosmopolitan city. You got so many things going for you. Great nightlife, which matters to some players. Here's Grant Cohn from the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. He said the Niners aren't even publishing pictures of Kaepernick at all on their website, which he believes is symbolic and indicative of the Niners wanting him to, quote, fade into the background and drop off the edge. They're tired of him. They want Gabbert to be the starter and the face of the franchise. Be careful what you ask for, folks. That's all we're going to say about that.
Weird, because it feels like Kaepernick would fit what Kelly wants to do so well.
You would think, but you know what? That we've said that athletically, I agree, but I still think when you go back to honestly what Chip Kelly prizes most in that offense is pinpoint accuracy, and that's not something that has been Colin Kaepernick's forte. I'm not saying it's been Gabbert's forte either, but they turned him into a reasonably effective game manager in the second half of the season last year. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks for playing along today. Thanks for all those former Jaguars who make themselves so darn likable that we had somebody to choose from among Jags who had never been to the Pro Bowl before. Thanks to Wild West Guns and Gold. They bring you the show every Monday. Thanks to Johnny O from Jaguars.com for checking in. I hope to have him check in, maybe live with us if he can make it out to Sawgrass. So we'll be at the Media Center, Tony and I, the next couple of days out in Ponte Vedra, and then out and about. If you see us out and about, stop by, say hello, come on up. Maybe I'll bring some Jaguars Today t-shirts with us, at least on Thursday, when we're out in the area by the miniature 17th island hole, right there as you're approaching the 10th tee box. You'll see it. It's right there by just, I guess if you're facing the front of the clubhouse, it'd be kind of off to the right a little bit, right? It's ask anybody where the replica 17th Island Hole is, and they can point you to where our broadcast is going to be on Thursday as the Players Championship gets underway this week. So, yes, probably will be a little golf talk that impinges on your wall-to-wall Jaguars and National Football League. Feel free to turn the dial now if you so choose, or you can just have me ignore you on Twitter. Whatever, it's really up to you. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to JJ for running all that sound in there today. Thanks to Jordan DeArmond, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, for Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. We'll say hello to the boys of the Midday Chalk coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Yeah, I mean, look at my house. It's holes.
You guys have a good day. Peace.